If I'm correct, I think we're going to begin in verse 36, Daniel 2 and verse 36. He says, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." Now, upon first reading, I was thinking Daniel and his friends, but upon further inspection, I believe he's referring to him and the Lord. Because the friends don't say anything, and the Lord, the Bible says, interpretation's belong to God. So he says, think about that. All your scholars and all your scientists and everything of the day are gathered there, and it's the Lord's wisdom pitted against their wisdom, and the Lord's wisdom prevails. Now, this is the thing you got to remember. Can you imagine all those scholars, so-called, just like what would equate today, standing there while they couldn't give the interpretation, and then Daniel says, "We will give them to him and his God." See, that's saying, basically the Lord saying, just y'all sit down and let me show you what the real thing is here. And man, that's such a blessing to get out of that text there. We'll give it, and interpretations do belong to God. Now, it says this, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings." Now, I like a king of kings. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the king of kings in Revelation 19. So there's a lot of kings. The Lord recognized there's kings, but he's king of kings. And I love that title too. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. So, you know what? It's putting him above that and said, you know what the Bible says? The powers that be are ordained of God. You know what? If somebody is in power, they've got God's permission to be there. And that's why we're not supposed to, the Bible says, bring that railing accusation against, it talks about how powers above us and things. You got to realize that that's like even some of these terrible, terrible leaders that are in power right now. Well, God's allowed them to be there. And you know what? Ultimately, we're getting the leader as a nation. We're getting the leader that we deserve. And that's hard pill for some people to swallow, but you got to realize an evil nation will get an evil leader. Why? Because he's representing what the hearts of the people. And I tell you, that thing right there, it's more to it than what meets the eye, and we'll go over that as we get into Daniel about those leaders. Verse 38 says, "And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all." That's a strange thing. Over the beasts of heaven, things like that, and given them dominion. You know what that means? Men are answer to God, and the animals and things like that, they're under the dominion of men. They answer to men, and that's like a dog and things like that. You know who's going to punish that dog? A man's going to do that. Why? Because dogs do not have the same moral compass that we got dominion over them. But now man answers to God, and so man does. I mean, man has a lot of power there, and here he is. He's over a world nation, and he's saying, "What you say goes as far as the animals and things like that." He could have made a decree and said, "Let's kill all the alligators." And guess what? He could have killed every one of them. You think about that guy over there in Nineveh. They go over there and Jonah preaches and he says, "Let's all fast." And guess what? Even the animals and stuff fast. Man can have dominion over animals. And that's amazing. But, I think that's an interesting statement there. But he says this, "Thou art this head of gold." So he's saying in that image that Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. That's a very interesting statement too. Let's look at some things here. Look over in Isaiah chapter 40. We'll go over this head of gold probably a few times in the book and kind of hone down on it a little bit more here and there. But he likens our links, rather, kings and kingdoms together. And you'll notice that in verse 38 and 39, because he said, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee." So he said, "Thou art this head of gold." He's over a kingdom, and then he said, "Another kingdom." So kings are linked with our kingdoms. And that's going to be real important when we get over in Daniel chapter number 7. So we'll remember these things. But they're linked up. And now that head of gold, he called him a head of gold. I think that's very interesting because if you look in Isaiah chapter number 40, look at verse 18. The Lord says, "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven," look at this, "image." See? Now watch this. "And the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver change." What did he put over it? Gold. An image. Why are they likening God to an image spread over with gold? Don't that make that Grammy nomination just more and more evil as you see it? Why is that man trying to give a reward out of being an image, whatever he's playing that sport in, overlaid with gold? That's a strange thing, isn't it? You know, and what is that thing? Let's draw down a little bit more. Look at Isaiah chapter number 46. 46. Isaiah 46. Verse number 5. He says, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like?" Now, let's stop there for a minute. What does Philippians chapter 2 say? Who was equal with God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the new perversions take that out. But it says the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the Lord Jesus Christ? He's gold symbolizes deity. All right, you see what they're trying to do? You see that false kingdom? You see all that counterfeit go on? You're going to see this whole thing over and over and over. You're going to see that counterfeit over and over and over. You know what the devil is? He's a master counterfeiter. And the book of Daniel shows it. I'll show you as much as I can. It's over and over and over. That's why you have to be careful of a counterfeit Bible, a counterfeit spirit, a counterfeit movement. We're going to see, you're not looking to see, you know, prophecy wise, you're not going, looking to see an antichrist, atheist movement. It's going to be a religion. A religious movement. And that Bible's going to show you that. Alright, now 46:5, he says, "Equal and compare me that we may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance." Now watch this. "And hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god." See that thing right there? That goldsmith making that thing a god and linking that thing with the Antichrist and that image. See? Now watch what's connected with that. "They fall down, yea, they worship." Worship service. Tell me that thing is connected with worship. And you know what's going to get back to? Right now, I know we're off the gold standard, but it's going to go back to the gold standard. And that's why it talks about gold in the book of James. Gold and silver being moth-eaten canker. And gold in the book of Revelation. And things like that. And we'll see these things. Now, if you remember there, what we read in Isaiah, just to refresh you again, in Isaiah, I wanted to show you something before we go into Acts. He says, "To whom will you liken God?" Now turn to Acts 17. To whom will ye liken God? Acts 17. And we see that thing connected with gold and a goldsmith and a little g god. Now gold, goldsmith, and a little g god. Now in Acts 17, verse 29 says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and a man's device." There's those devices. And why? See, it says, "Whom will you liken me?" It says, "Like unto gold." You see that with that thing's connected. You can't make God with your hands. You can't. And what you're seeing is you're seeing these things made with men's hands, and you're seeing these images. And you know what you're going to find out? The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation that craft will prosper. And you'll find out in the book of Acts, it talks about their craft and how they made these goddesses. And turn to Acts chapter number 19 while I've got it on my mind here. Watch this thing being connected here. Look at Acts chapter number 19. Look at verse 24. Because Revelation 18:22 says he's going to make craft to prosper or something. Now, maybe it's Daniel 8, maybe. I'm sorry. I think it says that the Antichrist will make craft to prosper. Now, look at Acts 19, verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, female deity, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now there's your craftsmen. Now, watch what it's connected to. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft, see, craft, we have our wealth. There's money connected with that craft. Now drop down to verse 27. So that not only this, our craft is in danger. See, that's why they don't want you, why it's hurting their money. That's why they don't want you speaking about God. It's hurting money. It is in danger to be set at naught. But also that the temple of the great goddess, there's your female deity, Diana, should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. See that worship connected with that female deity and craft, little g God. Now watch this. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Now watch verse 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Now that's amazing to me right there, because God is not the author of confusion. Now if you want to jot a verse down in your margin, because I'm going to stay in Acts. Listen to this in Isaiah 24, verse 10. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. I want to take you through a study on confusion and take you through and show you what all is connected with that city of confusion throughout the Bible. You're going to find bestiality, homosexuality, and false worship connected with that thing. Alright, so look at Acts 19 again. It says, now watch what's confusion here. Verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. So when you got two Bibles, one saying one thing, one saying another, you know what that's connected with? The devil. Some crying one thing, some crying, well, my Bible says this, and some crying, well, my Bible says the other thing. See, that's confusion. See, that thing is right there. Now watch this in verse 34. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Now, verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image, see, there's your image which fell down from Jupiter. Now you see that thing right there? That image fell, they said that thing fell down from another planet. Now you know what that's linking to you? That's showing you what these crazy people are saying today. Well, there's gods from these other planets, and they come down, and y'all know the party line just like I do, and they're already saying today that we're already in contact with beings from other planets. Well, they say this thing here fell down from Jupiter already. And the Bible's telling you what they're going to do before they do it. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit if they say they're coming from Jupiter and copy that. Hey, I'm telling you, that King James Bible, whether they want to or not, they're going to do what it says do. And they'll say what it says say. Now, notice another thing too. For ye have, verse 37, for ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess, robbers of churches. You see that thing there? And I got a footnote. The Roman populace of any age have churches. The context of chapter 19 is heathen idolatry with the use of images as an aid to worship. Specifically, this is the worship of the Queen of Heaven. You see that thing that connected right there with Rome right
in the text, man. And you just can't beat that. You just can't beat that Bible right there. So what I'm saying, that head of gold is connected with the image, is connected with a false little g god, is connected with worship. Service, and he said, "Thou art this head of gold, and it's a kingdom." So you know what you know what you'll see. That thing started off Babylon, the Babylonian system. Remember, it's connected now. Later on, be connected with mystery Babylon, the great. That whole thing, guess where it's going? It's going right back to that head of gold, where they're so pagan that they'll worship an image. It's a little g god, and that thing is connected right there with craftsmen. So you know what you're going to find out? One of these things, you're going to see an increase of crafts, of idols. It's going to be big business because people are going to have idols all over the place. Now, this is one thing we don't think of, and I'm not saying go down here and knock the statues down, but statues have always been a big thing anyway. These statues all over the place. We got monuments and everything else, and statues. And you know what? I don't believe that there's going to, when the Lord comes back and the angels take all things that offend, like the Bible said, I believe they're going to take all the statues down. Well, don't need to be no statues or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the one that needs all the worship and all the, somebody saying, wow, that is really, everything will be focused on Him and Him alone. I don't believe, the Bible said He won't share His glory with another. I don't believe anybody's going to have title to have their statue up anywhere. And see, you're going to see these aids to worship. That's why with us, we don't need any aids to worship. The only thing I need is right there, that Bible right there. And they got these beads and everything else. And so, if you'll notice with other religions, they have to have some kind of aid to worship. And see, that thing's going to get more and more popular. But that head of gold there is connected. And it's connected also, if you'll notice there, with it, like those passages, who are you likening unto God? It's connected with man worshiping himself. See, later on you'll find out, here comes Nebuchadnezzar, makes an image to himself, golden image. Alright, now, that's why you have all this self worship today. That's why some of the most popular sermons today are sermons that brag on self. You know, it's self-help stuff and everything else. That's why now you can see it. Now there you're going to see a few amens in certain places when you preach it, but whenever you tell folks things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse type of thing, they're going, what? What did you say? I mean, you see, like I said, there are some people who give you, you know, a head nod, but for the majority, they're like, this guy, I came here to feel good, man. What's this guy talking about? But you know what ought to make you feel good? What ought to make you feel good is the biblical way of feeling good. Knowing the promises of God ought to make you feel. That's what ought to touch your, what we call feelings. That ought to get on the inside of you. The other stuff that chops down the flesh, see, the more you fall in love with the Lord, the more stuff that chops down the flesh, He must increase, I must decrease. That's knocking me down. That's a good deal. He's increasing. And see, when the flesh is knocked back, that ought to do the spirit good. But what I'm saying is, now the flesh is so emphasized. Why? The head of gold. Everything's now, see, I'm the deity type thought pattern. That's why the selfies are so popular now. And that's why, everything now is like these people walk around taking pictures of themselves all the time. I was pulled in by the bank and I saw this guy. It was so funny. If he'd known I'd been seeing him, he probably would have been embarrassed. But he was over there at the phone. He's going, you know, like this, right? And he was taking all these pictures, and I'm thinking, this guy's just taking a big bunch of pictures of himself. And what I'm saying is y'all, that head of gold, the one that's self-worship. Now, that's kind of a spiritual application of the thing, but now I want to tell you this too. According to God and His Word, the highest form of government, you'll see that thing, is absolute dictatorship. Now, the problem is this. Absolute power corrupts absolute. And a man can't handle it. But in God's eye, the head of gold, the highest form of that government there is absolute dictatorship. That's why with the Lord, you know what He's going to be? Absolute dictator. But the thing is, He can handle it. But a regular man, it's like this man, it corrupts him. Shows you. But that shows you what God likes is He wants a monarch. That's why he likes kings and things like that. Why? Because you think about it, the way we're set up now, you can have somebody have a real good idea, and you know what they want to do? It's got to pass through this, and it's got to pass through the other thing. Got to pass through, well, it didn't pass this. The Lord's going to say, that goes, and you know what? It's going to go. And that's what he likes. But it decreases down. Now, he says this in verse 39, "And after these shall arise another kingdom." So we know the first kingdom was Babylon. And I meant to bring Larkin's big chart in here for you. But we know the second kingdom is Media-Persia. But he says something interesting here. This is another thing that people don't like today. Another kingdom inferior to thee. Now, inferior. See, that shows you that things get worse and not better. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, your car, you don't buy your car and that thing get better in 10 years. my body is not in better shape today than it was 10 years ago. Guess what? I've got aches today. I was like, well, I get up in the morning, I just woke up. Why am I hurting? Why am I shoulder hurting all the time? You know? And the thing is, I've been told it just gets worse as you get older. Well, the body's getting worse and not better. Well, see, man is thinking, that's why they got these, and I know I talk about the Bible a lot, but y'all, if it wasn't for the Bible, I wouldn't have nothing to stand here talking to you about. But that's why these better translations. Don't kid me. Don't kid me. I know what works.
Right.
And these people who are getting dumber are not making a better translation. And it's just, that's just how it is. But now, I'll read something to you as far as this. This book's called Dead Men Tell Tales, and it's got a couple things I want to read to you. He says this, "We now see, however, that the entire age of the patriarchs was a period of exquisite culture and high learning." See, that is completely contrary. They think those people back then were dumb. Y'all, that is not so. That is not so. The more I read on some of these books I've gotten, these people back then were extremely, extremely. I can't emphasize that enough. Extremely intelligent, and I do not think that our intelligence today comes close to the intelligence that was back then. I'll just give you one for instance, just off the top of my head. Adam named all the animals. Now look. Can you sit right here off the top of your head and start naming all the animals? Y'all, that's a lot. I'm just saying that's something small now. And you got these people up here just in Genesis 4 coming up with instruments and coming up with how to mold and make things out of brass and iron and things. Y'all, it's one thing to be taught something. It's another thing to come up with the thing. They're very, very intelligent. So we're far inferior in intelligence to what they were back then. And this book's got some interesting thing. I'll read this to you. "If there is one voice that can be heard in archaeology and one lesson that can be specifically learned, it is the certainty of the fallacy of the theory of evolution." I like this guy. "Egypt, as elsewhere, shows us no dim, brutish beginning, but a startling emergence of this people in a high degree of culture." Well, the Bible bears witness that. The Bible says that Moses had the learning of the Egyptian. Even the Bible says they had great learning. But he chose God's wisdom over the worldly wisdom. They had plenty of worldly wisdom. Plenty. Probably too much. "No gradual ascent up the ladder of learning, but cycles of retrogression and advancement, followed by decay." So you go, they get really smart, and it goes down. Like this right here. Really smart goes down. It says, "Then a new dawning of art and science. The entire record of archaeology is thus a complete vindication of the premise and basic contention of the inspired record of God's Word. No greater voice may be heard in our day than this definite, adamant cry from Egypt, which depicts cycles of culture that begin with a crest of learning. It must not be presumed that this condition is unique in Egypt or particular to any race or country. The same queer discrepancy between the fallacious theories of the philosophy of organic evolution and the facts of human history observed wherever archaeology has been able to hold the torch of discovery over a given area." And it goes on.
on and on and on some really neat stuff. This whole thing is well worth reading. But what he's saying is basically that, like this, thus the false theory that man has struggled upward from a valley of brutish darkness is refused by archaeology. And he says, and the premise of specific creation as set forth in the Bible is established by the discoveries in the realm of this science. I mean, science proves it. And man, that whole paragraph there is well worth reading if y'all want to read that. But what he's saying is this. Men have gotten way up here, and you know what happens to them? Pride gets that head of gold got up there. They had been smart before Babylon, before that head of gold. But you know what? They go down. Like Israel, you'll see it. You read over there in Israel, and they'll get up here, and God will deliver them. God will deliver them. They'll do good for a little while, and they go right back down. They need a deliverer. Well, that's just showing spiritually what happens to us too as well. You know, you'll find out a lot of times we'll get going good. You'll get going good. We'll get blessed to the Lord, and you know what happened? The prayer life kind of fizzles out a little bit. And then the Bible reading. I just read it tomorrow. You know, we didn't feed today. All right, well, guess what? Boom, goes down. And you know what happens? Because of that, you see that need, and you get back up here again. We see it in our own lives. Now, it's not too hard for me to realize that across the centuries, men have been really smart. And they come way down here like this. And I tell you what, as far as our technology-wise, we've got all kinds of technology. But spiritually, men have literally plummeted the depths. As I heard one man say it one time. Intellectually, we've scaled the heights. But spiritually, the depths are plummeted. And man, what's interesting to me is we're smart enough to so-called go to the moon, which that's a whole different story in itself. But we're smart enough to fly these planes around and do stuff like that. But guess what? You can't hardly walk on your sidewalk safely. That's the amazing thing to me. Why? Because it shows you that no matter how great a nation becomes, like Babylon or whatever, if you don't have the spiritual side of it, it's no good. That's why you'll find out, you know, in your personal life, how can that apply to us? You may have great things going on physically. That's why, you know, these people now, they want the physical blessing. Yeah, but if you're not balanced spiritually, it's no good. That's why you'll see this head of gold. He had all the things physically. What if you got all your bills paid? Your family's doing great. You can't want or hurt for anything. You got food in your belly. All those things are going. But if you're spiritually lacking, it's no balance. It don't matter. What I'm saying, the focus, it can get off so much. Why? He's way up here, but guess what? He's this head of gold, and you know what he's doing? Trying to counterfeit the Lord. And you know what happens? That's why the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. That's why, you know, you read these things, and you get puffed up. This man here gets puffed up. Before long, he's worshiping his own, fall down and worship the image here. He's wanting people to fall down before him and things like that. Well, you know what happens? That can happen. Why? Sometimes people can get too much, and the Lord said, well, you can't be trusted with that. And guess what happens? They say, oh, I want it. Now, here comes Haman. And he had everything. And one man, little Mordecai, wouldn't bow down to him. Everybody else was bound. What was it hurting him? Just that one person wouldn't say anything. And you know what happens? Boom. Knocked him down. Now what you'll find out is there's a warning to us. Because Nebuchadnezzar had all what a man could want. He comes up and he said, I have made this kingdom. And I've done all this stuff. That's why we have to be real careful. Just going down anyway. Man, thank the Lord that we can trust Him. Why? Because we're going downhill. The only way you're going to get up is to go down on your knees and trust Jesus Christ, so to speak. You know, that's the old saying, the only way up is down. The way down is up. And you see this, the inferior. Alright, so that's degradation there. Another thing you'll find out in verse 39, the second form of government there is military dictatorship. And then right there in verse 39, military monarchy, because it says, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And so you see Medo-Persia, then Greece comes into power. And you know what? He ran that thing by his military, Alexander the Great. And I tell you what, that guy right there, I watched here a little while back, a documentary on that guy. He was a pervert and a crazy person. But I tell you what, militarily, that guy was a military genius. He literally knew how to fight and how to win battles. And you see, but still, that's inferior. God says in here, that's inferior to the monarchy. And you'll see that thing going down. Now here's something interesting here. Verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be as iron. As iron. You know, the iron rule of so-and-so, iron rule. All right. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now, iron, you know what that is? You're going to see this counterfeit over and over. That's a counterfeit of this. Hold your place there and look at Revelation 19. I know y'all know this, but it's good just to have show you the cross-reference. I think it's so interesting. You're going to find out, as we study these things, that you're fighting a devil who all he wants to do is counterfeit the Lord in any kind of way he can. That's why I tell you this. That's why I can't emphasize enough. You can't trust your feelings. Well, the devil will try his best to get you to have some kind of feeling. In some kind of way. That's why, y'all, I tell y'all, I can't tell you now how many people I've told, I don't have to feel saved.
Right.
Thank the Lord I don't have to feel saved. Why? Because I base my salvation on facts now. Why? Because I can tell you this, if I had to feel saved, brother, I wouldn't feel saved hardly ever. Why? Because the closer you get to the Lord, the more you realize, man, what a sinner I am. Paul said, man, I'm the chief of all sinners and things. That's late in this Christian life he said that. That's not early on. Why? The closer he got to the Lord, the more he saw himself just vile. He's this old vile body. You imagine him went 3 or 4 days without a bath. He's out here trying to witness and things and can't get, and he says, man, this body's vile. I can't wait to get clothed with my new body and all these things. Why? Because the closer you get to the Lord, you're not going to think you're better. You're going to think you're worse. You're going to say, how can I even be saved anyway? Some of these people, like D.L. Moody was talking to a lady, she said, I've never doubted my salvation. He said, I doubt if you're saved. and you'll see that. So look at this counterfeit here. Revelation chapter number 19, look at verse 15. That iron rule, that iron. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Iron. You know what they want to do? They want to counterfeit the Lord's rule of iron. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. You know what they want to do? They want to have an iron rule. That's that spirit in them, whether they realize or not, they want to counterfeit the Lord. And you'll see that as you come through this thing, and that iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to come down and break them all in pieces. The Lord, one of these days, is going to come down, and He's going to break every one of them, squish them like grapes. And they want to counterfeit that. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. It wants to bruise. Now, so there you got the next thing, the next type of government is a Republican monarchy spoken of there. And we know from history now that's Rome. And it goes on to say in verse 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. This is very interesting. Part of clay and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. This is a strange verse. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Now, you know what I like about the Bible? The Bible gives you its own interpretation. Look, go on down to verse... By the way, in verse 41, you'll see that Antichrist kingdom is a socialistic democracy. Socialism. And you know what you're going to find out? Your middle class is going to leave. So that 41, you're seeing that socialistic democracy right there. And it's right here in the text, but you'll see number 40, verse 42.
Watch this. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Verse 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, here's the they shall mingle themselves with the seed. See, there's the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So you know what you've got there in connection with Rome? Rome is connected with that strange flesh in a mixing. And it looks to me like the text, some way, that they were connected even in that first part back there. Because if you'll take, I'm not talking about what so-and-so says about it or what the other person. I'm talking about just looking at the text. And it says in verse 40, right after Greece. This here is not even talking about the last part of it when it gets down to the toes and it revived Roman Empire. It says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. So I see that as iron there, but it says, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. But he says in verse 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron. See, that iron is connected with Rome even back there in verse 40. Now I know it says as, that's the only thing that would keep me from definitely telling you that I believe that there was a mixing even back then. The only thing that keeps me from telling you I know that to be a fact is because it says strong as iron. But we see on this second part, we know for a fact that you've got fallen angels mixing with the sons of God, like Genesis 6 coming back, mixing with the daughters of men. We know it for a fact that it's going to be there in the revived Roman Empire. So you're going to see a time, if nothing else, I can tell you this, you're going to see a time it's going to get to where more and more and more to where this thing of mixing in and everything's accepted. Why? It's got to get that way because they're going to be so primed for when that time comes that he don't have to waste time trying to get people to think like he wants them to think. The thought pattern is already there. Why? The spirit of Antichrist is preparing for right now for when the church does leave, the mindset will be there. So all we're doing, we're seeing the mindset setting in now for when it does happen. It'll already be that he won't, because he's not going to have time. He don't have a whole lot of time to work with. He's going to have the mindset already there. So the spirit of Antichrist is working. That's why you got the transgender movement. That's why you got the queer movement. And that's why you're going to see, guess what, the next thing come up is bestiality and pedophilia. It's got to come in. It's got to. Why? It's gonna be to the point where that whole mindset is accept anything. Now you'll notice this. One lady, she wasn't black, but she said she identified as black. Mm-hmm. Alright, this one lady out in California says she identified, this is embarrassing to even say, but she did. She says she identified as a dog. And you know what? They've got to accept that. Why? Because if marriage is no longer defined as man and a woman, well, all the other lines on anything else are being blurred out now too. So what you're having is you're having these people who are now basically they want to identify as things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a scary thought. Mm-hmm. Well, they identify as something. You see, they're changing. See that change, the natural use, change Romans chapter 1 into these things. And I'm telling you, that thing is connected, so that mindset will be there so they can mix. When the time gets there, they're going to want that mixing. And that they is connected right there. We went over it before, and that's what, like, you got these. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Iron Man is the devil, but I tell you what, you see that thought pattern getting there though. You see why? Because man wants to merge with machine. They're already talking about now downloading the consciousness up on these computers and things. Well, y'all, that just, if it were possible, and if they are able to unlock that thing and the devil gets permission to unlock it, that'd be like hell. You imagine having that thing downloaded on that computer and not even being able to function there's the mind would go out and wander somewhere. You that mindset would be like, to me, would be like being in hell. Why? Because God created you to be in this body and think how that body, how you're in that body. Why? You're grounded to the ground. You know what the next step's going to do. You imagine being in that thing. I can't imagine. I wouldn't want it. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get eternal life without coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that whole thing's about. It's a counterfeit. I'm telling you, this whole thing's a counterfeit. That's like this text is so interesting. From the paragraph mark in verse 36 to whenever this thing ends in verse 45, iron is mentioned 10 times. I counted it to make sure it's mentioned 10 times, showing you that iron connected with the Gentile kingdoms. Why? It's showing you there, just in that whole thing, this whole thing is a demonic. The times of the Gentiles, why? That's the devil and his devils running the show. Why? The God of this world. Why? The earth is the Lord's and fullness thereof. But the Lord is allowing the devil. Who's in charge? Saul. Why? King David's in exile right now. But guess what? He's already anointed at the cross. He's already the kingdom belongs to him anyway. But guess what? He's out while Saul's running the thing. And you know, one of these days he's gonna come back, and man, you got that type there. Why he'll come back and hit that giant right in the head, man. And all that stuff's typed in the Bible for you. I love that. But now you'll see something else about this too. We got a little time here. It says they'll mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's obviously there going after strange flesh, and that's obviously your fallen angels. But they shall not cleave. Now I've shown you this once before, and I'll show you again. Genesis chapter 2 is a good. That's the first time you'll see the word cleave mentioned in your Bible, and it's got to do with marriage there. And you'll notice this. Why? Because you got a mingling, a mixing there of the seed, but it says they shall not cleave. Now you go back to your Bible in Genesis 2 and verse 24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave. See that thing? Cleave unto his wife. It says, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So you know what's going to happen? See, they're not going to mix. It's going to be a thing to where they're just going to have an offspring, but they're not going to cleave one to another. You know what they're doing? They're just coming straight down to get. They got one purpose, and people say, well, you know, these angels don't marry and things like that. Well, as far as how we do, they don't. They're not interested in, you know, like you see these movies like City of Angels. They're not interested in having any kind of relationship. They're interested in getting their seed out there once, so they can do the damage that they want to do. They're not going to cleave one to another and go out here and have a home with a picket fence. They're not wanting that. They're wanting to have their seed in there and mess things up. And that's why that thing shall not cleave one to another. And even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, this is the good thing here, and we'll try to wrap it up on this for tonight. And in the days of these kings. Now what kings is that? That's the kings mentioned over there in Revelation. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have 10 kings. And they're going to be demonic kings. Why? What if it's this? You got the mingling there, iron mixed with clay. What if before the thing takes place, several years before the thing takes place, they come down for the specific purpose of having that child, once all a counterfeit, just to have those kings come up, really smart kings come up. In the days of these kings, which one? The ones that had been mixed there for the specific purpose of coming in to lead and get things done. Because the devil knows which ones to do what, and the devil knows how. So I'm not saying it's going to be a whole breed of them. They're going to be running around over here and running around over the hill. He knows exactly what to do. He knows which ones and when to come in and get it done. That way the kings are there and set up, and he says he knows which ones are the ones smart enough to handle it, and they're in there, they get the power, and they're going to be the supermen of the day. Why? Because it'd be too many of them, it'd be a mess. You see, he knows exactly what to do to get them in there. Why, they'll be humans, you'll be able to see them. See, and they'll get in there and get the thing done. Why? Because they'll have a spiritual entity tell them exactly what to do. They'll be in connect with both sides.
physical and spiritual. And that's what it looks like to me. I think that thing right there is, that's why it says in the days of these kings. Well, what were we just talking about? We're just talking about the iron mixed with miry clay. So in the context of that thing, it looks like that. But why? That's why God, it's going to have to be rescue when the Lord comes down anyway. Why? You got supernatural beings leading the thing. They're super smart. And man, they come down here and the Lord has to come down here and knock them out. Well, if y'all look at regular humans, it wouldn't be a fight anyhow. It's gonna make the whole thing more glorious. Why? Because when these people realize what they're up against, they can't mess with the Antichrist, much less with him and these ten kings and all these supernatural buddies. That's why you got this thing. Why in Genesis 6 it was a bunch of them, and when it comes back, it's gonna be. But they're gonna be leaders. Why? Like Nimrod, mighty man of renown, and he's a leader, and he's over this. Why? He's over a city. Well, what you're going to have, you're going to have these people come down. They're going to be the kings over the kingdoms. And they're going to run them things like you've never seen before. And they're going to be super smart. And man, that's the Lord's going to come out. It says that shall the God of heaven. Now, guess what? He's going to set up a kingdom. Now, I just want to show you this. We're going to look at it again later on. But just for something you can look at. In chapter 3. Six times in chapter 3, and I'll give you all the references next week. Six times in chapter 3 it says Nebuchadnezzar set up an image. You know what? He's trying to counterfeit what God does. Over and over and over, we're going to see in these chapters how they try to counterfeit the Lord. So the thing is, like your new Bibles, you know what they say? They say be imitators of God. Instead of being followers of God, they say be imitators. We're not to imitate God. We're to follow God. Follow God. So that's what we ought to do, is follow Him and not imitate. The devil imitates. We follow. When the Lord says jump, we say, yes sir, ha ha. And what? Well, the devil questions. He said, oh yeah, hath God said. We don't question what God said. We say, Lord, You said it and I believe it. And I've told you before, you know, these people question the whale and all that stuff. And they say, well, I don't know if a whale swallowed Jonah. Look, if the Bible said Jonah swallowed a whale, what the Bible says is true. Let's stop there.